This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
In 1960, Air Force pilot Joe Kittinger set the record for highest ever parachute jump, 102,800 feet, a record that would stand for more than 50 years. His book about that project, The Long Lonely Leap, is a classic. He went on to have many other aviation adventures, from combat flying in Vietnam to long-distance balloon flights. For the last few years, he worked with the Red Bull Stratus project, helping that team to finally break his own long-standing record. Colonel Kittinger, thanks for talking with us today. To start out, could we talk a little bit about Project Excelsior?
Well, Project Excelsior was a program that was initiated by the United States Air Force to conduct research that we needed for the coming space age. The space age was 4 or 5 years away, but the visionary I worked for, Dr. Stapp, knew that there was research that needed to be done, and Project Excelsior was designed for two purposes. First purpose was that man had never been in the space before, and we knew that when he went into space, that there was certain protection and certain conditions had to be satisfied, and that was one purpose, was to put a man into space, and we had to use man's oldest aerial vehicle, a balloon, to do it with. And the second objective was to come up with a system of escape from very high altitude. We were having difficulty with getting aviators down from high altitude because of spinning. And our second goal was to come up with an escape system that would prevent that from happening. I had a great team of professionals working with me on the program that were dedicated to the same goal that I was. We worked for a year and a half. We did three jumps. First jump was from 76,000 feet, and the second jump was 75,000 feet, and the third jump was 102,800 feet. We accomplished the objectives we set out for. On the last jump, I pre-fell for 4 minutes and 36 seconds. I reached a speed of 614 miles an hour, and the two objectives that we had were realized, putting a man into space and to provide a means of escape by altitude. The system that we developed some 53 years ago now, is the same system that's used today in every ejection system around the world. Every ejection system has a small stabilization parachute that we developed some 53 years ago to get me down from extreme high altitude. So what we did is still being used today. It was a very successful program because I had a great team working with me, and we were very proud of what we had done, and even more so today that it's still being used some 53 years later. So that's an elevator sketch of Project Excelsior. And by the way, it took a year and a half, and it was my 33rd parachute jump when I made that jump.
Wow, so that was not a lot of experience and just a lot of courage, I guess, to take that step.
Well, actually, I was there not as a skydiver or parachute jumper. I was there testing equipment for astronauts and for pilots. So I didn't need the test to make it valid. I just needed enough training to take care of myself in the event I got into a bad spin. But I wasn't there as a parachutist or a skydiver. I was there as an astronaut and as a pilot.
And you weren't there just to break a record or set a record. You were there to do real research and find out real information.
Oh, no. The record had nothing to do with it. That was not an objective. And as a matter of fact, we didn't even put into making a record because we were there to do research. And I didn't feel that it was worth the taxpayers' money to make a record. We were there to gather data that we needed, scientific data that we needed for the future.
So you went on after that and had some other adventures in balloons. There was something called Project Stargazer.
Yeah, so once again, Stargazer was another visionary project. Man had never been above the Earth's atmosphere with a telescope, and stars don't twinkle. Stars are a constant source of light, but they twinkle here on Earth because of the atmosphere and the turbulence and haze between us and the star. So the idea was to get above the Earth's atmosphere where you could look at these celestial objects without the haze and turbulence of the of our atmosphere. I worked very closely with Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory and MIT, and it was a very intricate program. It took 5 years to accomplish it. And finally, in 1962, I went aloft with a great astronomer by the name of Bill White, and we looked at stars and planets above the Earth's atmosphere. It was a very successful mission, and we attained data that was unique. Unfortunately, the program was canceled after that one flight because the support that I had had, Dr. Stapp, had been transferred, and it was no longer an objective of the Air Force because of not having the leadership of Dr. Stapp. But it was a very, the flight lasted for 18 hours. I took off from Holloman Air Force Base and landed in Lordsburg, New Mexico, about 100 miles away. So it was a very successful program, and once again with a great team of people. In all, I made a total of five high-altitude stratospheric balloon flights, and the Stargazer was the last one of the series that I'd made.
And how high did that flight go?
That flight went to 87,000 feet.
Wow. So, and then you went on to fly balloons in other venues, right? You flew across the Atlantic?
Yes, well, the flight in the Atlantic was just for the heck of it. All the significant flights I did in the Air Force, there was a scientific reason for it. Flying the Atlantic solo in a balloon was because nobody had ever done it before. It was a challenge to be the first to fly solo across the ocean in a balloon. So I did that strictly as an adventure, strictly as a, for the fun of it. And I did that. I took off from Caribou, Maine, and flew some 3,600 miles and landed in Italy some 3.5 days later. It was a great, fun flight that was successful, and it set about 6 world records that will be in the record book for a long, long time.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And so then you went on to get involved with Red Bull and their high jump. How did that all come to pass?
Well, for the past 50 years, I've been getting phone calls from people all around the world that wanted to beat my record. And I was not interested in supporting any of these people because most of them had no idea what how hostile the region of space is, had no sponsors, had no idea of the pressure suits. They just wanted to beat my record, and I didn't want to get involved in anything where somebody might get killed. So I kept away from all of those phone calls that I got. I'd get a couple of months from all over the world until I was approached by Red Bull in August of 2008, and they had a good goal, a good objective, and they were doing it for science and also for to set a record for my altitude that I jumped from. But I was approached to join the program as an engineer and as a person to work closely with Felix Baumgartner, the jumper, to prepare him for the jump. It was an exciting program. It was led by a gentleman by the name of Art Thompson, who put together a phenomenal professional team of people to support the project. And in all, I worked for over 4 years on the program. I designed the life support systems and worked very closely on the parachutes, the pressure suits, and the balloon, because, you know, I had a lot of experience in all of those items. And so it was a great challenge, and one that we all enjoyed and worked diligently on with one objective, and that objective was to get Felix up and back safely. And I must say that Red Bull was a phenomenal sponsor. They never hesitated when we approached them on additional monies for safety. And safety was never compromised on the program from the very beginning. And we had ups and downs. We had problems with various sundry things. But Red Bull never lost faith and never asked us to cut corners when it came to safety. So they were an absolutely outstanding sponsor. That's unique. And when you think about it, it's interesting. There'd be more and more of private industry is getting involved in space research. Red Bull, Richard Branson, the other private industries that are making rockets to go to the space shuttle and to go to the moon. So the government is getting less and less into the research business, and it's being done more and more by private industry, which is good because the government has such bureaucracy, it takes forever to do something, and it's twice as expensive the way that the government does it and the way that NASA did it. So it's much more efficient for private industry to do this type of research because they don't have the bureaucracy and the dead wood that NASA had during the research that they did.
And did Red Bull achieve their scientific objectives for this flight, and what were those exactly?
Well, the first primary objective was this was the next generation full pressure suit. The future astronauts will be wearing this suit that Felix was wearing, and this was to test the system at extreme altitudes in preparation for future use. So that was a great scientific advantage of the program. The other objective was to design a new approach to physiological monitoring of a man in space, and that was accomplished. Felix also went supersonic during his free fall, and that data was collected and of interest to the scientific community. So there were a lot of scientific objectives. As a matter of fact, the primary objective of the project was really scientific. The record breaking was a secondary objective that we had on the program. So we accomplished both objectives, the scientific and the record setting.
And I got the sense from Red Bull's coverage of the event that you and Felix really developed a kind of a close mentor relationship, and he seemed kind of really, really appreciated your support.
Well, we did, and we worked together for 4 years. We worked together in the altitude chamber test. We worked together developing the checklist, developing the emergence procedures. We worked very closely for 4 years in preparation for the jump. And Felix had confidence in me because I was the only person that had been there before him and knew exactly what he was going through. So Felix wanted me to be there to talk to him during the project because we'd worked closely together for 4 years in preparation for it. And it really worked out very well. We had a very good relationship, and he respected what I was telling him. The other big advantage was that Felix had 3,000 parachute jumps, so he was a highly, very experienced parachute jumper, free fall skydiver, with a tremendous amount of experience that he needed on his jump. On his jump, there was no stabilization device. It was strictly a skydive, one requiring extensive training like Felix had.
And so now that project is all wrapped up, what are you up to now?
Well, I have other adventures I'm working on. I enjoy challenges. I enjoy trying to do something nobody else has done before. I enjoy staying active, and so I'm working on several different projects right now. Nothing as exciting as Red Bull, nothing as exciting as the Stratus project, but something that will keep me involved in research, which I'm very interested in.
And can you tell us about that?
Well, no, it's not for publication yet, but it'll be an interesting event. And after it happens, you'll be able to call me back. I'll be happy to talk to you.
Okay, that sounds great. I will take you up on that, and I will do that. And thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you, and give me a call back.
I will, thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.